getting in touch with them. I know that's a lifelong passion and pursuit that Steve Clawson is all about. And Steve, I want to invite you up right now. Steve is the director of the Mark Center, Retreat Center in Abbotsford, B.C., right here. And he has six kids, wonderful family. I know my niece is good friends with his daughter, and it's just such a privilege to have you here this morning. And I know that what Steve has to say with us is going to challenge us and change us, and God is waiting to touch us this morning. So thanks, Steve, for being here.
You're very welcome. I'll just move this right down. Good morning to you all. I'm excited for you as you head into this series, and I want to begin by speaking a promise to you from Scripture. That's not my idea, but it comes right from Isaiah 30:21, and it spoke to me last February when I was seeking God for some direction in a couple areas of my life, and I was alone on a BC ferry heading out towards Pender Island. And I read this verse, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I've enjoyed that verse before, but this time the four words, your ears will hear, really grabbed me. And I received them, and I just slowed down and chewed on them a little bit there on that ferry. And it struck me that those four words are personal. Your ears will hear. Not somebody else's ears, but your ears will hear. It also struck me that it's a pretty strong promise from Scripture. And it's not just in Isaiah, it's all over the Scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, you have verses similar to this. A strong promise, your ears will hear. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. It's God's heart that each one of us would be directed by him and receive guidance from God. And so your ears will hear soon became a promise that I felt free to speak to others. And I love looking at you in the eyes kind of quickly here, but I'm saying to you this morning, your ears will hear. In the days to come, no matter what you're going to face or go through, God is going to be with you and he's going to guide you. Your ears will hear. So my name is Steve and I direct the Mark Center with my wife Evie, and it's a great privilege to work together. The Mark Center is named after the Gospel of Mark, which, as you know, tells the story of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus is the main character and the hero. He is the only one left standing at the end of Mark's gospel. All others, men and women, have failed in one way or another. But Jesus is Lord. And he is proclaimed as Lord right from verse 1-1. I'm a trumpet player and I just love verse 1-1 of Mark. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Nothing confusing about that verse. It's the beginning of the good news. And so if John Mark is saying that this is good news, let's not change it to bad news, as some scholars like to do, painting a dark cloud over the Gospel of Mark with all the suffering and cost of discipleship in there. But no, it's good news. And it's good news of Jesus, the Son of God, declared very clear. People will ask, who is this? Throughout the gospel. And that's a question that people will ask today. But John Mark is very clear. Jesus is the Son of God. And there's some great news, some good news about him. And so this morning, as we kick off this series, I'm encouraging you that your ears will hear. God is going to guide you in the days to come and the years to come. He's going to be personal with you. He is intimate by nature. That's who he is. He doesn't struggle with that. God wakes up this morning. In fact, he was up all night again. He does not sleep or slumber, and he is intimate and personal with us. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. But what we're going to do is we are going to listen to Mark 1:1 all the way to chapter 2:11, the opening of the Gospel of Mark. And you will be coming back to the Gospel of Mark in the weeks to come here in this series. We're grounding this thing in the Gospel of Mark. And so some of you, there's one of you at least, who's already read through Mark a couple times in the last little while here, preparing himself for this series, and I highly recommend that. Going through the Gospel of Mark, either by yourself or in a group, tomorrow night I will read through the whole Gospel of Mark at the Mark Center with 20 young adults who are on a discipleship training program arriving today. And that will take about an hour and 25 to 35 minutes. And so if you've got that in your time in the next week or two or seven, I'd encourage you to just sit down and motor right through it. Get some coffee, whatever you drink, and have fun. But this morning we're going to listen to that opening. And I want to draw your attention to a few things. Three things, actually. I want you to be aware of a time when Jesus sneaks away, surprises and, yes, disappoints his disciples as he goes to a solitary place. And he prays. I want you to think about that time. At the Mark Center, we see a rhythm in the life of Jesus. We see him giving great leadership with a lot of energy, very fast moving, action packed, busy. Nothing wrong with being busy. But Jesus also withdraws for times of prayer. In the Gospel of Luke, it says Jesus often withdrew for times of prayer, to lonely places for prayer. And so I want you to think about that rhythm a little bit. Leading, active, driving out demons, preaching, teaching, making disciples, but then withdrawing. And what is it to that rhythm? We believe that Jesus modeled that so that you and I can enjoy it, be inspired by it, but also, to some degree, live it out ourselves. And I fear that if we don't pay attention to that rhythm, we just might burn out with exhaustion. So keep your eyes open for that little time when Jesus sneaks away and prays. The other thing I want you to be aware of is a voice from heaven that comes to Jesus. The voice of the Father speaking to Jesus at the time of his baptism. We want to ponder that together. What is that voice like? And what is the message in it? And how does that relate to us today? We'll talk more about that. So we've got a rhythm we're looking out for, Jesus sneaking away. And we've got a voice that comes from heaven. I want to think you thinking about the content of that voice as it comes. And then I also want you to think about a story where a man hears not the voice of the Father from heaven, but the voice coming through Jesus. A paralytic who is brought through a roof by some friends, and Jesus speaks something to him. And I want you to think about that with me. We'll ponder that together. What is it like for that paralytic to hear what Jesus speaks to him? And what is it like for you and I and people on this planet when we hear the voice of God in one way or another? Does the Gospel of Mark give us a picture as to what it is like for someone to be guided by God, to hear the voice of God? So you're working with me this morning, whether you knew it or not. We got three things we're watching out for, and you will be talking by the end of this time together. So let's dive in, and let's see where we go here. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. And he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed. They asked each other, What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many with various diseases. He also drove out many evil spirits, but he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, Everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came and begged him on his knees, If you are willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell anyone about this. But go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. A few days later,
When Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk?' But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." That is the opening of John Mark's gospel. I love it. Action. Amazing, amazing things to kick us off. What are we hearing? What are you listening to? What is touching you as you hear and see the opening to John Mark's gospel? It will be different for each one of us, and I'm excited to at least give us that much. But let's go together. And let's start first with the getaway, when Jesus snuck away from that busy home, a home where the whole town gathered the night before. And if you have the whole town gathering at your house, what time do you go to bed? Late. That's good enough right there. Late. So Jesus probably went to bed late. With who? We know James and John were there. We know Simon and Andrew were there. We know Simon's mother-in-law who got healed. She was so fired up, she just started cooking things and serving them. She was there. Others were probably there as well. Jesus gets up and he leaves very early. A good translation would not read like the NIV, bless their hearts. They went to look for him. But a more accurate translation would read something like, they hunted him down, or they searched for him intently. And when they finally found him out in the middle of nowhere, they were a little irritated because they probably were looking for hours. Jesus was successful in finding a solitary place. And so they find him and they say, "Everyone is looking for you." And now we've got two things that come. We've got an answer from Jesus' lips, and we've got a commentary from John Mark, and I want you to work with me on trying to identify some single words to describe Jesus answering this question: what does he look like to you coming out of that time of prayer? Okay, disciples are coming with their anxiety. They're asking him, or they're telling him, "Everyone is looking for you. You really shouldn't be here. This is a dumb idea. You were great last night in Capernaum. Let's go back there." Jesus replied, here's your first clue, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Second clue, the commentary from John Mark, "So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons." Those are your two clues. From the lips of Jesus, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." The other clue from John Mark, "So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons." What does Jesus look like to you coming out of that time of prayer? In your own words, what does he look like? Anyone? And I'm only taking single words here. No hyphenated words, not two words. Single words. Anyone? Jesus looks focused and refreshed, I heard. Someone else?
Driven.
In a good way. Yeah.
Excited.
Jesus looks excited. I like that.
Clear.
He's not confused. These are good words. Anyone else? He looks... calm. I like that. I was going to say peaceful. As opposed to the anxiety of those disciples, Jesus is pretty kicked back. He's not apologizing for being here, missing the crowds back in Capernaum. He's calm. He's focused. He's refreshed. He's excited. One or two more?
Don't.
Inspired. Yeah, he's had something going on in this time of solitude that has inspired and directed him.
Rested.
Good.
Empowered.
You don't go driving out demons unless you're empowered. In fact, I would highly recommend not trying to go driving out demons unless you have the power of God filling you. These are good. And we're going to move on. But there's a rhythm in the life of Jesus that takes him back into solitude, into a time with the Father. And it does so because he knows that he is relying on a power that is not going to come from his humanness only. It's going to come from the Father. This morning I was ironing. I don't iron very often, but I was ironing. I had an iron board. I had this thing. I plugged it in. Everything seemed to be going good. I had something happen partway through. There was a little bump, but I didn't know anything big had happened. But what had happened was that my plug was not in. So I was ironing for a long time, and I was just like, what's the deal? Then I look over and I'm not plugged in. And I just kind of laughed at myself a little bit. And I thought, yeah, this is a little bit of a picture here of the getaway. Jesus was plugged in. And we can go through the motions. You can iron a long time. But it's not going to work unless you've got that power coming into that little machine. So let's jump to the next one. We've got a voice. We've got the Father's voice at the baptism of Jesus. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. This is the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus has done nothing yet as far as ministry. There are no stories of healing that we have before this point. Here it is. The Father looks down on Jesus at his baptism and he says, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. How would you describe this voice speaking to the Son? What's the adjective that comes to your mind? This is what kind of voice? This is an affirming, prophetic voice. Those are great. Anything else? Affirming, prophetic, empowering, commanding voice. It's intimate, it's authoritative, it's comforting, yeah. It's coming from the Father, and it's speaking into the very being of Jesus. And it's something that lately has been grabbing me, that in the Gospel of John, we have clearly laid out for us the fact that the Father loves Jesus in the same way that he loves who? Us, yeah, all of us. So you really could put your name in there this morning and say, daughter, my son, my daughter, and your name, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. In that little workbook, there's a section at the back called Listening Tools. And there's a tool in there that a lady in New Westminster wrote, and I just love it. I'm going back to it again and again, and it goes like this. It's pretty simple. It's got three paragraphs, and each of them shift a little bit to a different idea. So follow Jesus around the scriptures is the way it starts. Be an observer. Watch how he looks. Watch how he touches. Watch how he is present to people. Watch how he prays and takes time out. Second paragraph, a shift. Let him look at you. Let him touch you. Let him hold you. Let him heal you. Let him be present to you. Shift. Then become the look. Become the touch. Become the presence. Doreen has captured something so simple that I invite you to. I invite you to follow Jesus around the scriptures in the next 7 weeks. I invite you to not only do that, though, let him touch you. Let Jesus come close to you. And as you do that, I am very confident that you will become the look, the touch, the presence in the world around you that needs you. I was in Vancouver recently with a group of 25 people on a Saturday morning, and we were listening to God together for about an hour, and then we split up and we all took a solo time. And in that solo time, a man in his 90s decided that he wanted to focus on that poem that I just quoted to you. And so when we came back together for the last hour, he was the first to speak. And I knew by the look on his face that he had something to share with us. Very articulate speaker, he said to us that for much of my life, when I've thought about Jesus looking at me, I've imagined him looking with some disappointment and with expectation that I should be doing more. And you could have heard a pin drop right then. And then he said this, "Today I let Jesus look at me." And all I could see in his eyes was his love and his care. That guy heard the voice. And I stopped things right about then because people were crying a little bit and it was just a moment to savor. That man in his 90s has inspired me. And I went from him to a place where I was with 19-year-olds. And I told them about that man. And we were on a day retreat out at Stillwood camp there near Cultus Lake. And one of these 19-year-olds told us later that a year before, when he would put his campers to bed, what he would do is he would lie in the middle of his cabin on his back so that all of the campers in the different bunk beds could see him. And he would just lie there, and they would fall asleep. And he just loved it. And that's the way he'd put them to bed. And so on this particular day in June, he found a cabin with nobody in it. He got in there, locked the door, and he went all by himself, and he lay down on his back, and he just let Jesus look at him. And as he reported it to the rest of us, he said this. He said, "You know, I don't really know what was going on. I didn't hear a voice, but for some reason it was the highlight of my day. I let Jesus look at me." I want to promise you in the days and years to come, Jesus is going to follow you around. He is in love with each one of us. It is remarkable. It is beyond our imaginations how much Jesus loves us. And he's going to invade your life and mine in different ways. He's going to come to us. And if we're listening, if we're paying attention, if we're slowing down, it's possible that we're going to receive it rather than miss it. And it's going to be fabulous. It's going to change your life, my life, the people around us. And so we move to the last of the three stories. We have Jesus in a home that is very crowded, right? We've got four guys carrying a paralytic on a mat, and they cannot get into this house. There's no way that they can even see Jesus. So one of them is a roofer, and he says, "Let's go up on the roof." That's great. They kick through, they work through. I don't know how it happened, but they lower this guy down. This man has asked Jesus for nothing at this point. He has said nothing, and Jesus does what? Jesus forgives his sin. Sometimes we get a little legalistic in the Christian church and we think, well, you got to confess your sins first and then Jesus forgives you. It's in the Bible somewhere, I'm sure. But you know what? God is cool. He's in control and he is going to come to you even when you're not asking him to come to you. And he comes to this paralytic and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Wow. Can you receive that from Jesus today? Daughter, son, everything is forgiven. Everything. Wow. So he hears that word, and then he's healed physically. The guy has a double whammo, like amazing day in his life. He lived the rest of his life with incredible gratitude, I'm imagining, for what happened. And so what was it like for him to hear the voice of God through Jesus saying, "Son, your sins are forgiven"? There is a picture in Mark chapter 4, 1 through 20. Some of you are going to go there tonight, next week. You're going to read about Jesus telling a story. And he tells a story about seeds that are going all over the place. And one of the places that those seeds go are into some good soil. And it grows and it produces a crop and it multiplies. What you put down actually spreads and multiplies. And so Jesus said, "Hey, I'm not just talking about seeds. I'm talking about something called the Word. I'm talking about a message that is coming to people. And when people hear the message and receive it, it's like a seed." I don't know a lot about seeds, but I know a few things. They are small and they look kind of insignificant. But seeds have incredible beauty packed into them. They have life in them. I'm into gardening. I'm a plant guy. And I just love watching things emerge. I love perennials that come back each year and surprise me. It's amazing. Seeds have potential, great potential for beauty. And seeds also do something very cool. They spread, they multiply. And so when Jesus was talking about hearing the word, and I believe when that paralytic heard the word, "Son, your sins are forgiven," I'm imagining that that was one small little word, yes, but it went into his heart. It changed his life. It had great potential for him to enjoy and mature and touch others. It spread through him. So in the days to come, as you dive into ancient practices that can change your life, you are going to be listening to a God who speaks and a God whose words that are going to come to you in one way or another. And those words are like seeds. They're going to be planted in you. Open your heart to them. Let them go deep and let them create what God wants them to create in and through you. And my guess is that you're going to be an inspiration to others as you keep listening to God. Let's pray and get that worship band up here. I'm loving you guys leading us today. Thank you. Jesus, we open up our hearts to you and we invite you to speak. And we thank you that you are speaking all hours of the day. You are surprising people. You are speaking in places that we wouldn't expect. You are speaking through little people, big people, medium-sized people, all over the place. Strangers are speaking the Word of God to us. Lord, thank you that we can hear. Thank you that our ears can hear and we can be guided by you. Thank you. Thank you for the good things that are ahead. As we listen, hear, and receive what you are saying to us. Amen.
You're God of the city, the King of these people, Lord of this nation.